Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
There's been a survey done with APSA Business and the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry and the Bureau of Market Research at UNISA. Let's speak to Lindo Mbanjwa, the Head of Business Development and Partnerships for Small and Medium Enterprises at APSA Business Banking. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through that survey that was done earlier on this year and who you spoke to and what came out of it.
Good evening, Zingi, and also good evening to your listeners. So if I can just paint some context here. So if you look at the country, we have a country that has basically over 90% of businesses that essentially fall within what we'd call the small business enterprises, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really, really, really interesting in that context is the fact that there wasn't a real-time barometer or any, let's call it, mechanism that we could say we could essentially use in terms of obviously looking at prevailing conditions that are facing these businesses, the challenges that they face. And also something that also kind of positions, let's call it, the prospects that they can also face from an opportunity perspective to grow. So one of the things that's generally a problem here is that most organizations, institutions kind of just use a broad strokes in terms of how they really paint what's happening in this space. Whereas if you really look at it, it's highly nuanced, and I think it's very diverse. And as such, therefore, it does need more of an evidence-based approach in terms of how we view it.
Mm-hmm.
So with, I suppose, some of those challenges, us as APSA, we believe obviously we're the bank of the entrepreneur. We're quite committed to obviously enabling this sector and obviously driving growth for small business. So to do this meaningfully, we also believe the fact that we need kind of what we call data-driven clarity to just kind of make sure that we address the real issues that face, I suppose, this part of the market. And as such, I think that's essentially the background to how ourselves as APSA, obviously Saki, and also the BMR kind of came together to conceive, let's call it this growth index. And mm-hmm. essentially, it's there to kind of fill that gap and provide those robust insights in terms of how, let's call it, SMEs are faced are operating from an internal perspective within their businesses, but also the factors that are kind of shaping how they show up as well in the external environment and how that affects them in terms of how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had two of these surveys done. The first one was done initially around May in the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. And then the second one has obviously been done now in October. And we've obviously revealed the second set of findings thereof.
And so give us some of those findings and insights into those evidence-based findings that you've put together.
Yeah. So it's been fairly interesting, right? So obviously this is the second report, as I've mentioned, and some of the key findings that we are seeing there. We obviously surveyed over 2,000 small businesses across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are seeing is obviously this is a sector that's really sitting under strain. You've got two-thirds, I suppose, around 67% of these businesses that aim to actually raise prices by almost 10% in the next 6 months. And that's purely in response, I suppose, to the persistently rising operational costs that they face. That's one aspect that's kind of come out quite sharply. You also have about 38% of these SMEs as well. They kind of paint a bit of a grim picture where I suppose what they're suggesting is that if they don't necessarily get support, let's call it in the next 6 months, if there aren't any interventions that are put into place, they obviously see some serious pressure in terms of confidence, in terms of being able to kind of move forward with their businesses. So that obviously is not a great picture. You then also have an interesting one. If we kind of compare what we saw in the first half of the year, where only one in six businesses were confident, right, in terms of saying that they were going to be able to grow, whereas now that's kind of improved from a sentiment perspective. It's now sitting at about one in four. So where they're saying, yes, there is strain in the market. There are pressures in terms of what we're seeing from a liquidity perspective. The energy aspect as well becomes quite key in terms of, let's call it, power. And some of the market access interventions that are required may not be where they need to be, but they're kind of being positive. So that was a very interesting outcome from what we saw at this point in time.
Mm.
Look, I think as I've kind of noted here, I think there's continued pressure if you look at liquidity in terms of, like, let's call it, the cash cycles that they need for operating. I've mentioned energy as one of the key aspects as well in terms of cost and also the stability aspect. and also market access. So those are some of the things that we just need to look a lot more closely at in terms of how we start solving for SMMEs over the next couple of months.
When you speak about the feedback that you're getting, there is a study by Finmark, which says that there's about 3 million medium, small and micro enterprise in South Africa, employing about 13.4 million people. And there's about 2.5 million really small enterprises, a lot of them informal. But what we can see from that and your study and your survey is that small and medium enterprises really do drive so much of South Africa's engine. With the challenges that you've spoken about, people saying that they don't feel as though they can keep on going without support, how do you, as a bank, as the Bank for Entrepreneurs, as you've positioned yourself, look at that? Because during COVID, we saw that there was a plan made, right? Now we don't have an actual disaster, but we know our economy is at 0.5% in the third quarter. People are feeling squeezed. Entrepreneurs are feeling squeezed. So as a bank, do you then also think about how to assist even though there's not a declared disaster, even though it's just shaky?
No, of course. So look, I think as a bank, I think we do realize that we have a critical role to play in enabling growth and obviously the sustainability of small businesses, right, in ensuring that entrepreneurs do survive. If you kind of look at what we'd call developed economies, what you'll realize there as well, and I mean, you made some interesting stats in terms of the employment rates that sit within these small businesses. Mm. Those economies are driven by small businesses, and hence they are successful. So we can't rely on big corporates to kind of drive this growth.
Okay.
So from a bank's perspective, I think one of the things that we are clear about is obviously we need to kind of improve this, call it access to affordable, flexible financing solutions. And what I mean by that is that those need to be aligned to the realities of small business and kind of make sure that they kind of enable things like cash flow and also align to their growth cycles. So some of the interventions I think that we need to start looking a lot more closely at as banks is how we streamline the application processes, right? Mm-hmm. And ensure that they're not rigid. And given the fact that you've also mentioned, I mean, a lot of these businesses also are informal in nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to also kind of take a better view in terms of how we review things like collateral requirements. And ultimately, it's going to be around us being a bit more robust in how we offer, let's call it, more tailored financial products.
Yes.
That are fit for purpose for businesses, understanding that they're all at different stages, I suppose, within their journey. That's one aspect. The other aspect as well, right, is which is critically important, is probably also the non-financial, right? And that speaks to how do we create environments where these businesses are able to network and where they're also able to gain access to markets. And again, I think we've got various partnerships as EPSA as an example, which I'll use. And I suppose one of those that I can use is the National Small Business Chamber for Women and Youth. And essentially, those are some of the platforms that we then can enable and make available to SMEs, where they're able to gain access to these networks and also to these markets. Also, I think from an enterprise development perspective, that's one of the key areas as well that we leverage as a bank in terms of driving, let's call it, more focused development initiatives that aid obviously, let's call it the skills aspect in terms of what's required as well for SMEs to actually prosper, and also just the mentorship that's required, because all of the big corporates that you see out in the country started off as small business at some point.
Mm.
And I suppose that handholding becomes important in that journey in terms of how you also enable this environment for SMEs and ensure that they do grow.
Okay, Lindo, as you're speaking about that improving access and making sure that you aligned to small businesses, I'm thinking about the so-called township economy in South Africa. There was an article on UCT by Luvuyo Mnanga who said that the township economy is worth around 900 billion rand. I'm sure you want to tap into that, not just for altruistic reasons, you know, as a bank for growth as well. Just take us through what your insights are from township small and medium enterprises, what the gaps are, and going forward, what could be done in that space.
Yeah. So when you consider the township economy, if I can call it that, your more rural markets, I think some of the biggest challenges there would be obviously the formalization aspect, right? And the second aspect as well that we would need to look at there is the skills gap that exists. And I suppose what we are finding, I suppose from our research perspective, is I think one of the key insights that came out in the first report that came out in the middle of the year was the gap in let's call it I'd call it the technology / digital skills. Mm-hmm. That existed there. What you're finding is obviously there's quite a. I mean, we have a huge youth population as a country, and I suppose digital skills and those digital savvy type of skills are some of the things that are starting to kind of proliferate that space, especially. And I guess where we need to be smarter as banks in terms of how we solve for some of these ecosystems is not only to look at this as one of those things where we approach it as a bank and try and solve it by ourselves, but it becomes about more around partnerships in terms of how we solve. Mm. So partnerships with fintechs who are actually playing in this space. Secondly, as well, I think we're very fortunate in this country that we have what you'd call like a ministry of small business. A lot of countries don't have that, right? And I think they've also made commendable steps in terms of just prioritizing the SME sector. So the way I see, I suppose, how we solve for this is not necessarily from only a bank's perspective, but more of a collaborative approach, right? One that includes the obviously government, one that includes the private sector. Academia is quite key because that's where we're getting some of the insights that actually paint some of the key pain points that are faced by this environment. And then obviously working also with civil society in tandem. I suppose if everyone plays their role within this partnership, I think that alignment starts setting up the right infrastructure to solve for some of those challenges. Obviously, you want to be able to make sure that as you solve for this collaboratively, you're coordinating and you're using data back type of decision making to make sure that you unlock the full potential of that market. It really is a market that I don't want to say is untapped because it's operating with or without let's call it interventions from the bank, but it can definitely operate a lot better and grow a lot faster with interventions not only from banking but across the ecosystem from a partnership perspective.
All right. Lindo Mbanjwa, Head of Business Development and Partnerships for SMEs at Absa Business Banking. Thank you so much for your time joining us on Kaya Business Evening, just taking us through that survey and that partnership between Absa Business Banking, the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and the Bureau for Market Research, really giving us insight into what is happening in that space. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
All right. Let's listen into some more voice notes. The traffic fines seem to be getting people going.
You know what happened to me? Your reality kicked me like I almost died. In August, I went to renew my license. I went to spa. I normally does it at spa. So I went to spa, Robindale, did my license. And then in 2 days, I was told your disc is blocked. And then reason why it's blocked, you must go and visit your license department. I went to license department. Guess what? I had to pay 7,000 tickets, 7,000 worth of tickets. And those tickets were actually enforcement. And do you know what's even very bad and what hurts me a lot is I've got tickets from my previous car that I traded in 2022, I think. I had tickets from 2021, 2020. Where are they coming from? Why was I not told about them on time? Hey, bruh, I was in trouble. But then I managed to pay and I was able to get my license disc because I wasn't going to get my disc anyway. So I had to. It forced me to pay. And right now, I got a ticket the other day. This auto sent me a message to say, I paid immediately.
Thank you so much for your voice notes. Do keep on sharing your traffic fines with us. We've also got a WhatsApp here from Lindani Ngobo. Good evening, Zinga. The spelling of my name. It's fine. Great show. Lovely to be a Kaya listener. Very informative station. I was lucky enough to be stopped by traffic police on the road yesterday and they requested my license to check fines. I gave them freely as I know I have zero and indeed I was correct. Essay arrive alive. I love the duality of the 7,000 rand fine and then Lindan is saying he has nothing. Thank you so much for sharing your voice notes and your WhatsApps with us.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.